ask for your patience if all your questions are not answered. I ask for your patience if I stumble over something, and I ask for your patience even if I get it wrong. I'm only human. But I want you to feel free to approach me and ask me why I said what I said, what did I mean when I said it, can you explain yourself a little bit more if I have muddied the waters? I want you to feel free to do that. But here's what you need to know. I accept the fact that I am not a doctor, and I am not a professional counselor. I'm a pastor who loves Jesus, and I love my people. And about a month or so ago, a family that comes into first service, Tony Michelle Roberts, she showed me a picture on her phone, and I didn't have my glasses on, so I couldn't see it very well. But I said, well, that looks pretty good. I really didn't know what it was. But the next week, she came into my office, and she handed me this. It is a picture of Jesus, and somewhere in there is me. And somewhere in there is you. Now, this picture means a lot to me because, first of all, Jesus is the chief shepherd. But he has also commissioned me and Ryan and our elders to be shepherds of this congregation. And he has put in me, and I'm speaking of myself now, he has put in me a shepherd's heart. I work under him. But I want you to understand that what I say over the next 2 months is coming from a heart of love, a heart of passion and compassion. And that if you have a question, please ask. And I know there are some things that some people don't grasp, and instead of talking to the person, they talk elsewhere. Don't do that. If you have a question, please ask me, okay? Now, before I get started, I want to recommend 4 books. These I used. Now, if you can't get them all down, there's a sheet of paper on one of the bulletin boards back there with all 4 of those books there. And I recommend them highly. These first 2 were recommended to me by Tammy. One is called Winning the War Over Worry. And I saw that they sent this in the military box by Louis Giglio, and another one by him called Putting an X Through Anxiety. These books are simple. They read easily. You read them, and then there's a spot where you can fill out answers, questions. I highly recommend these. These are, you can see they're not very big, and you can read them simply. A third one, is one by Sean Johnson called Attacking Anxiety. I'm going to talk about this in the sermon, so that's all I'm going to say about this book, okay? And then the one that I just recently got is Anxiety, Knowing God's Peace. It's the 31-day devotional. It's by a man named Paul Tautges, Tautges. It is 31 devotions, and each one of them are like 2 pages. And I just sat down and started reading it because it came Monday, and I wanted to be able to read it so I could either recommend it or not recommend it. I got to page 20 or day 24, and so tomorrow I'm going to start over day 1, and I'm going to start underlining as I go. It takes me a while to read books because I underline as I go. But anyway, those are 4 books that I highly recommend. There are several others that I used in my preparation. But those are 4 that I think that you would benefit from. Okay, let's pray and get started. Father, I thank you so much for these folks. I thank you so much for this day. I thank you so much for the sunshine. I thank you for the song that we sang, that your mercies are new every morning, morning by morning. And we need to grasp the idea that no matter what we go through, you are there with us. As Bobby mentioned in his communion meditation, we're not alone. You have promised never to leave us or forsake us. And so help us as we struggle through our daily lives to realize we are not alone. And so I pray that as we study today, that you will open your word up to us, help us to understand it, help us to grasp it, and then help us to be able to take these words and apply them. They're not my words, they are your words. And so I pray that you'll help us as we look at different ideas and different thoughts today, that you'll help us to just to pick, if nothing else, just pick one thought that we can run with. But open our hearts up, help us to be receptive to you. And then as I preach, I just pray that Jesus will be given the glory and the honor and him only. And I ask this in his name. Amen. All right, so let's get started. I first want to take you to What God Wants for You. I mentioned this book by Sean Johnson, Attacking Anxiety, and I want to give you a little bit of background that he knows what he's talking about. Sean is the pastor of Red Rocks Church in Colorado. He begins his book by telling him part of his story. He was telling about the time he was coming home, and he was on the phone with his wife, and he was having a full-blown panic attack. And this panic attack had just struck him and it had taken him down. He'd had them before, but not this bad. He finally got off the side of the road, and when his wife and others got there, they found him a wreck. He will admit that he thought dark thoughts while he was sitting there. And so through the intervention of his wife and some friends, he took 9 months away from his Red Rocks Church in Colorado and went and got help. This is his story. And I will admit to you that some of what I'm sharing with you today and through the series came from his personal experience. And I am not ashamed to admit that. And so his book has been an eye-opener for me. Not because I suffer with panic attacks or with fear and anxiety, but because I know people who do. I wanted to be able to feel what someone else feels. I wanted to be able to say, I understand what you're going through. Not because I've gone through, but because I have listened to other people say, this is my life. This is what I struggle with. And so I hope and pray that I can share that lovingly with you. We all know that there are different struggles, different stages of mental illness and mental health. And each one of them are processed differently. Nowhere should we judge or condemn someone else because they are going through a mental crisis. Whether it be thinking of taking their own lives, whether it be going into a facility, whether it be taking medicine or drugs, nobody should be criticized because sometimes those things are needed. All right, but what I'd like to share with you comes from this book. In your bulletin, you should have received this. Did you get a bulletin? Does anybody, if you didn't get a bulletin, would you raise your hand? Christina? In your bulletin should have been this. Okay, this came from the book, Attacking Anxiety. Diana redid it for me to put it in a small format. Joe was able to laminate it for me. And here's what I'd like you to do. I would like you to take this and put it on your refrigerator. Put it on a mirror. Put it on your desk. Walk around with it like this. Doesn't matter. Just so you daily look at this, because these are God's promises for you and for me, okay? I want to real quickly go through these. I'm not going to read the scripture. I just want to go through the thoughts. The thoughts came from the book. What I did was I took the scripture that he gave and I looked through my translations to find the one that I thought best fit, okay? And so that's why there are different Bible translations listed there. So God's desire for you is he wants you to experience peace. He wants you to experience joy. He wants you to experience purpose. He wants you to experience confidence. He wants you to experience protection, and he wants you to experience victory. And by the way, if you are watching online and you don't have this because it's in the bulletin, text me, email me, stop in and get one, and we'll make sure you get one. I've already had a couple people text me after I said that. They said, I'd like to have one of those. So if you would like to do that, please feel free to do that. Now, what I want you to see about this is all these promises are from God's Word. This is not psychological gobbledygook. These are promises from God's Word. And what I want you to notice about each one of these words, peace, joy, purpose, confidence, protection, and victory, is that, and each one of these verses, is that they represent the exact opposite of anxiety and depression and fear and hopelessness. And I say this not to condemn you, but because I love you. Living in fear and anxiety on a daily basis is not God's plan for your life. Living in fear and anxiety on a daily basis is not God's plan for your life. He wants you to be free. And he wants you to live free. Now, I'm not talking about those occasional times when, you know, you get a little agitated or you get a little upset. But I'm talking about you don't have to be a slave to fear because you're a child of God. Look, if you would, at that scripture that's printed for you in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And I want to read this together out loud, okay? All of us reading it together, okay? You ready? For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. When we submit to fear, when we submit to anxiety, when we submit to hopelessness, and when we submit to giving up, we have basically put ourselves under a yoke of slavery again. That's why the song, and Tammy actually requested that song, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. Jesus died not just to free you out of prison, but he died so you can join the party. Jesus died not just to get you out of prison, but so that you can join the party. And we have been given this freedom, and we need to stand firm. God equips us with everything we need to stand and fight. I want you to use your imagination for a moment. Let's suppose that you are a warrior. Okay? You have a shield in this hand, you have a sword in this hand. When you and I give in to fear and anxiety and hopelessness, here's what happens. Our head drops, our shield drops, our sword drops. Who are we going to fight? This shield that we wear, according to Paul, is our shield of faith. That's our defense. This sword that we carry is the sword of the Spirit. That is our offense. And when you carry that, when you wear that armor that's listed in Ephesians chapter 6, you are fighting a battle. But when we drop our head in defeat and when we drop our arms in defeat, we are basically saying, I'm yours. We have given up God's strength in our life. God doesn't want that for me. He doesn't want that for you. He wants you to stand and fight. He wants you to hold that shield and say, go ahead, Satan. I don't care what you give me. He wants you to use the sword and say, okay, you don't like that? How about this? And you use the word of God. That's why this thing is so important. Because you learn that he wants you to have peace. He wants you to have confidence. He wants you to have joy and so on. That's why you read this over and over and over. Because it's filled with words from God. He wants you to win. I want to take you to an incident in the life of Jesus. Bobby mentioned it Shame on you. I want you to go to Mark 4, if you would. And we're going to start reading with verse 35. I haven't read it yet because I wanted to wait till now. Mark 4, verse 35 to 41. And I'm going to close the whole message by talking about this scripture. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, and so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern. What was he doing? Fast asleep. He was asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now let's go back to the story. Jesus and his disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level. 30 miles north is Mount Hermon, over 9,200 feet above sea level. What often happened is the cold winds came off the mountain, the warm air came up from the Sea of Galilee, and it caused dramatic storms to happen. And oftentimes in the Sea of Galilee, that's what they had to deal with. These guys were hardened fishermen. They knew these storms happened. But what I find is that this storm must have been a doozy. Because here are these sea-hardened fishermen who experience this almost on a daily basis, and they are scared out of their wits. This storm had to be worse than anything that they had seen before. Their boat was filling up. And they, of course, were scared. And so they wake Jesus up. "Teacher, don't you care that we're dying here?" Two things I want you to see about this. Number one, I want you to see what Jesus did not do. Jesus did not wake up and say, "Well, boys, thanks for letting me know. I didn't know the storm was coming." Nor did he say, "I'm scared." He never acted terrified. He never acted like something was wrong. But notice what he did do. He simply spoke. And the wind and the wave and the sea and all was calm. In circumstances that would have given most people, if not all of us, pain and give us pause, he had an astonishing, supernatural peace. Now, it's easy to say, "Well, of course, he was the Son of God." I think it was deeper than that. The most astounding thing of all was that the storm died down and it was calm. There's an interesting word, two words there. It says that there was great calm. Notice what that also means. It says he woke and he spoke and the wind and the sea be still. And the wind ceased and there was great calm. The word great calm in the Greek literally means dead calm. That means the wind stopped. But that also meant what? The wave stopped. And it was like they were on a sea of glass. It was that calm. I realize that some of you may feel sort of like the disciples. Jesus is asleep in the boat. and the storm is raging around you. Some of you, I bet, if I was a betting man, have felt the same exact way. The storm's raging. Where's God? The storm's going on around me. Where's Jesus? Oh, yeah, he's asleep on the job. That's what a lot of people think. But the disciples woke Jesus up, and he proved to them he was not asleep on the job. He knew exactly what needed to be done at just the right time. And I'm here to tell you that over the next few weeks, you're going to hear a lot about how Jesus brings calm. And if you follow Jesus, that peace that he offered in this boat is offered to you. It's for you too. It's for me. Maybe you've been struggling and you're straining to find peace in the midst of crushing circumstances. Or maybe you have personal crisis or crises coming up and you're going, oh, what am I going to do? May I suggest that you, hey, Jesus, I need you right now. Because you don't have to be a slave to fear. You don't have to be a slave to anxiety. You don't have to be a slave to hopelessness. Because he's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Maybe you're one of those who were led to believe that becoming a follower of Jesus, as Bobby mentioned earlier, instantaneously transforms you or world into bliss. Yeah, come to Jesus and everything will be okay. I have been known to say that's a lie, and it's from the pit of hell and smells like smoke. I hate to be the one to burst your bubble, but that is not true. But here's a truth that I believe that you can hang your hat on, drive a nail through it, and live with it. It's this. Even though we are not given a blissful existence and promised that and promised no trouble, Jesus has promised, finish it out, his peace. John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Finish it out. Never let it be afraid. You see, there is power in the name of Jesus. There's unimaginable power in the name of Jesus. As I close this morning, I want to give you a few random thoughts from this passage. They're woven through the fabric of this whole thing, but I think that they tell a story. Number one, God is working in the circumstances of our life. Verses 35 to 37. God is working in the circumstances of our lives. Number two, we panic when we lose faith in the one we should trust. Verse 38. And let me also add that when we lose that faith, we also find our fear and anxiety amping up. Number three, Jesus has authority over nature and all of our lives because he's God. And finally, the identity of Jesus is something, is an issue we all have to settle. That's what happens here. Who then is this? That even the sea and the wind obey him. Bertrand Russell was a very famous atheist from years ago. And he was once asked what he would say to God if he discovered upon his death that God existed and he was wrong. His response was, I will say, not enough evidence, God, not enough evidence. That excuse isn't going to cut it, as Bertrand Russell has now found out. Because you see, the evidence is overwhelming overwhelming that God is real, that God cares, and that God loves, and that God does not leave you abandoned. But here's the issue. Now's the time to deal with it. I'm going to close. I have a video that I want to show you. We cannot show it live stream, so if you are watching, it's going to be shut off after I pray. The video is called The Rock by Planet Shakers. It's the official licensed video, so the lyrics will be there. But like I said, we cannot show it on live stream, or we can get nailed and not be allowed to do any live stream at all. So we will shut the video down after I pray. We will watch it here, and I'm going to encourage you to watch it at home. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your peace. I thank you so much for the promise of your comfort. I thank you so much for the truth that's found in your word. I thank you that even though it appears that Jesus is asleep at the wheel, or asleep in the boat, or asleep when we're going through things, the Bible tells us that he is awake all day and all night. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that we are never left alone. And I pray peace over each person in this room today. I pray peace over each person who is listening. I pray for your presence to fill the hole that's there. I pray for your presence to come over and wash over and take care of the fear and the anxiety and even the depression and the hopelessness that so many carry. Father, thank you so much for loving us. And I pray that over the next couple months that your word become more and more and more precious to us, and we will see there the truth of it all. But go with us this week. Go with those who are listening or watching. And I pray, Father, that you will help us to experience your peace in all circumstances. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you would, the video, it's cut off, Joe. Okay, we're going to show you the video here.